You may have heard the story of an old pastor who was traveling and stopped in unannounced to a small church in a small town. I heard this story. I think it was at Dominion Covenant Church. Maybe some of you know it. Maybe you remember some of the details. But this pastor came, and he was, like I said, traveling, and he was ready to sort of relax and drink in a sermon and just worship there. But the problem was, when this traveling speaker walked in the door, that everybody recognized him. He didn't know them, but they knew him. He was a respected preacher. He was a famous preacher. He was a man of God. And they thought, oh, here's our chance to hear something very special. So imagine for us, like maybe a Joel Beakey walked in or a Paul Washer just walked in and just wanted to sit down and listen. Well, the elders got together, and they went up to the guest that had come, and they asked him to preach. And he declined the offer. He said, no, thank you. But they persisted in asking, and he persisted in declining. And eventually the prelude started, and it was time for worship. So they sit down, and they begin to go through the worship, through the liturgy, singing, praying, confessing, reading, just as normal. And then it was time for the sermon. And so the church's normal pastor comes up to the pulpit, and he says this: for today's sermon, we have a very special guest, and we believe God wants us to hear from him today. So I will ask our guest preacher to please come up to the pulpit. So the preacher came up, and he carried his Bible. He prayed for a blessing on the sermon, and he told them, open up to Matthew chapter 5 for the scripture reading. And he read the scripture, and he read all of chapter 5. The people are a little confused. They are thinking maybe they've gotten more than they bargained for. This is going to be a very long sermon if this is the scripture reading. But he kept reading. He kept reading straight into chapter 6. Congregation begins looking at each other. He hasn't even started the sermon, and we're 15 minutes into this. He continued reading. He read all of chapter 7. When he was done with this, he closed his Bible, and he looked up from the pulpit at the wide-eyed congregation and spoke these words: thus endeth today's sermon. Let us pray. That was his sermon for the day. He just read. Well, I have two warnings for you today. First of all, we are going to read all of the Sermon on the Mount. And then secondly, unlike this guest preacher, when I'm done, there's still going to be some sermon left. We will discuss the theme and some other things about this glorious sermon. So I would ask for you to stand. I'm not going to have you stand for the whole thing, but stand for the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Please be seated. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with them, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that thy whole body should, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat. Let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your neighbors, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, this is called the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount was probably given in a location near Capernaum, on the North Sea of Galilee. Most people have confirmed or believe where it is, and it has a beautiful view of the Sea of Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount here has remarkable similarities to what we call the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. And that has caused some unnecessary confusion. And I think it's simply this. I believe they are two different sermons at different times and places on the same topic. Because remember that Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And how many gospels are there? I have preached the same sermon here and in other places. And if you hold them up side by side, you would see similarities and you would see disparities. I cannot imagine preaching the exact same sermon twice, especially without notes as they did in those days. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. There's also the Sermon on the Plain that contains many of the same elements, but different sermon. So this is the Sermon on the Mount, and I think it would be easy to imagine yourself there, looking over the beautiful day, looking over the Sea of Galilee. And you might think how glorious it would have been to be there when he was preaching this sermon. But actually, we have a better seat today than they did. And I say that for a number of reasons. First of all, we have the Word of God, and the Word of God declares itself to be something very important, living and active. So it's not as if we had a live person and a dead book. No, we have a live person and an alive book. It is living and active, and it is also complete. We have the completed canon. They didn't have it completed in those days. We have all the teachings of His glorious kingdom gospel. Therefore, we can make connections with the rest of the New Testament for a richer understanding today. Ephesians chapter 4 says that our understanding, the church's understanding, will improve over time. What a wonderful doctrine that the Scripture will not only survive, not only will it not wither, but its solidarity and its life will allow the church to improve its doctrine over time as we put Scripture with Scripture, make those connections, make those applications. So we have the Word. We also have the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit today in greater measure than they did. And He's the one that guides us into all truth. Jesus said, it's better if I go and I send the Spirit. Now, it would have been a blessing to see and hear Jesus in person, but don't worry, you'll get that chance someday. Today, we, even though how neat it would have been to be there, we can actually look back on this sermon and it has more weight to it. Why? Because we live in the post-resurrection and the post-ascension age. Look back at with the last two verses we read in chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." It says here that they were astonished at His teaching. It was indeed something to hear. And He taught them as one having authority. So His audience was drawn in and kept in for two reasons: what He said and how He said it. Very important things. But we have the benefit of knowing that this man spoke these words and they have received a divine seal, a divine authorization, authentication through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Now, this is on a mountain. It was preached on a mountain. And I thought I would go through this today, but I think I'm going to save this for the next time. I'll just say that it's significant that it was preached on a mountain, because in redemptive historical history, God works through mountains. And we're going to see that a little bit next time. I'll save that for next time, okay? Those of you who are guests here, you just have to come back next week, I'm afraid. I do want to mention a little bit about the theme. Having heard this sermon, I think we can draw out its theme. That there are many views on the Sermon on the Mount. But if we just stick to what the Bible says and then look for indicators of what the Bible says confirmed within the sermon itself, we can confidently nail down its theme. And the theme is this: it's the gospel of the kingdom in real life. It's the gospel of the kingdom in real life. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel and this kingdom is also the new covenant. And those two are not separate things, but they're two ways of speaking about the same thing. Gospel of the kingdom and the new covenant. So how do we know that this is the theme? Well, first of all, the Bible gives us a very good clue. Look up at Matthew 4, verse 23. We went over this last time. Matthew 4, 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases of the public." So it's going to be hard for us to not take what the Scripture says. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So is it confirmed? Do we see it in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, let's see. How about verse 3? What's His first word? Blessed. And He goes on, blessed. Blessed are you when, and then you can fill in the blanks. He's implying that there is an active authority structure over all people. He's implying that there is someone who can bless. Somebody's in charge here. There is a king who can bless. Gospel of the kingdom. We could look at verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break the least of these commandments and teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." It says there's a kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom of heaven is so germane to the people that there's a stratification of where people are in the kingdom. Some higher, some lesser. This is real. We read in the Sermon on the Mount that there are positions in the kingdom based on the faithfulness to the Word. Well, we can look at the next section, chapter 5, verse 21. This is where Jesus begins to say, "You have heard that it was said by them of old, you know, but I say unto you. Jesus here, what's he doing? And this is where many views are out there and people go different directions. But it's quite simple. He's expanding our understanding of the law. He's filling it out every day. Remember, he said that he didn't come to destroy it. So we know that he's not doing that. He is giving the full sense and helping us with implications for us today. It's kind of like the movies where they have an old map and they follow it to some place where the vines are grown over and they find the key and they open the concrete door and then all of a sudden it's open up to a beautiful area. Now, I'm not saying that the Old Testament is not sufficient. I'm not saying that you can't get the truth from the Old Testament. I'm saying that it's there. But the problem is not the Bible. The problem is us. The problem is that our sin has corrupted so much and that we don't understand very well. And so what Jesus is doing is he's cleaning our glasses. He's helping us to see the law more. And this is kingdom. It's also good news. I think probably the apex of this story, I imagine Pastor Kaiser can turn it into a chiasm some way. He wouldn't just turn it into, he would see the chiasm if there was a chiasm here, but I just know that Matthew 6:33 seems to be the standout verse of what pivots. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It connects us with real life, and that's why I say that it's the gospel of the kingdom for real life. Chapter 7. Of course, the chapter breaks weren't there in the original, but at chapter 7 is when the sermon starts to look into the future. It speaks of the way of salvation, how men are going to be saved. Not everyone is going to be able to enter into the kingdom. Not everyone is going to be sons of the daughters and king. Everyone will be under the kingdom, but not everybody is going to be in the kingdom as sons and daughters. There's only one way, and he talks about the way of salvation. You can see that in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many works? The Texas translation here is, throwing around the name of Jesus is not enough. You have to know him. You have to know him, and knowing him means following him if you expect to enter into the kingdom. Zooming out just a bit for the overall context, I believe, as I mentioned, many people have different views on the Sermon on the Mount. The one that I've read that I believe is closest to the mark is Rushdoony. I will be using his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount as a primary source as we go through this. And the reason is because he understands the covenant aspect. You see, the original audience, who were they? Matthew's written to the Jews. They understood that. That covenant context is the way they breathed. It's not so much for us, and so we need some help, and I think Rushdoony does a really good job of that. And I'll just give you one thing. A kingdom and righteousness, they have to go together. Blessing for righteousness and curses, all of those require a covenant. And there's very much about blessings and curses, and there's much more to say on that topic as we get into this. I'm looking forward to our study of this sermon, this exquisite sermon from Jesus Christ. We pray the Lord's Prayer. We heard the Lord's Prayer in this thing. We ask that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when we pray that prayer, we're not asking God to do that without our action. Rather, we are praying that God will initiate and empower us through the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords to bring about what Jesus is doing. We have a covenant. with the King. We are sons and daughters of the King. This is the gospel of the kingdom. So let's enjoy. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy the gospel of the kingdom throughout the Bible and for Matthew. And for now, let's feast on this sermon over the next few weeks. It was presented on a certain day in a certain place on the north shore of Galilee. And we are in a better place today to listen to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Sermon on the Mount. Probably the most famous speech that was ever given, for good reason. Nothing can compare to your kingdom. Nothing can compare to the good news that you bring. Nothing can compare to the authority in which you speak. And so I do pray that you will help us to enjoy the Sermon on the Mount and to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.